The Courts of the Morning by John Buchan. Dramatised for radio by Guy Slater. With Ian McDermott as Castor, Fiona Francis as Janet Roylance, Andrew Wardlaw as Sir Archibald Roylance, and Sandy Nielsen as Sandy Clanroyden. The Courts of the Morning.
Listen to it. Listen to that silence. It's beautiful.
Sandy first brought me here when I was convalescing after the war. I've loved it ever since.
It's a fair view, certainly.
There's nothing like it in the whole of the border country, man.
Does it feel like home yet?
The hills do. They always did.
And labour law?
Still father's.
Look here, Sandy. Now you've succeeded, you really should settle down and marry. Fill the place with children.
Dear Janet, I can't.
Don't dear Janet me.
Well, if only I could grow old decently. There's a couple of lines by some poet. He's crazed by the spell of far Arabia. It has stolen his mind away. Far Arabia. That's my trouble.
Well, you've always been more at home in a tent than a castle, I grant you.
I tell you, Archie, I see one of my shepherds at work, and I'm ashamed of myself. No earthly use to anyone. An old buccaneer marooned on a rock.
A pleasant enough rock.
Janet's right, old chap. Marriage is the thing. Believe me.
Well, looking at you two, I'm almost convinced. No, by some miracle, I'm the 16th Clanroyden. It's unlikely there will be a 17th.
You really do talk such nonsense.
Well, how can there be? Archie has carried off the only woman I could love. come on, let's get down to the house. I heard a rumour that Cook was making scones for tea. The punishment for late comers is death.
Poor Sandy. I suppose if I'd known him then as I do now, I might have recognised the signs. But even so, I could never have guessed that his hard, restless spirit would come so close to destroying us all. How could I? Besides, all that Archie and I were capable of thinking about was each other and the matchless delights of marriage. Dear Mother, you prepared me so well. So well. And it all came to pass, didn't it? Your little Janet, now Lady Roylance, no less, wife of an MP, former aviator, hero of Mons. My darling, untroubled Archie. Sometimes I still can't believe it myself. But nothing you said or did could have prepared your little Janet for what happened, could it? Or could it? Perhaps it did. Chin up, Janet. England expects. Perhaps that's why we're all still here. Dear clever mother. I wonder if I shall ever feel I'm not letting you down. Or are your children forever beyond redemption? Do you suppose Sandy's breakfasted?
Hours ago, I imagine. It's pretty late.
And whose fault was that, may I ask?
Janet. The servants might hear.
It's been a lovely weekend, hasn't it? Despite Sandy being down in the dumps.
Oh, he'll soon buck up. I say, look at this.
Archie, will you please take your nose out of the newspaper when I'm making eyes at you?
No, but...
Morning, lovebirds. Oh. Hope breakfast get hot for you.
Poor Sandy. You'll be glad to see the back of us.
Nonsense. Morning, Archie.
Look here, Sandy. Have you seen this? Your friend Blenkiron's dead.
What?
Here, on the forum page. John Scantlebury Blenkiron of Boston, Massachusetts. It says he died on his yacht in Honolulu. I'm so sorry. Did you know?
As a matter of fact, yes. There's a report from New York in the Times. Sad business. We'd, rather lost touch, you know.
But Sandy, his niece was over here to see you last month. I met her at Glenraden. She was on some Scottish tour. She said she was coming to Laverlaw the next day.
Ah, yes, that's right. I believe she did.
Beautiful girl. What was her name? Not Blenkiron, certainly.
Can't remember.
Sandy, I refuse to believe that even you can forget the name of a girl as beautiful as that.
Sorry, old thing. Yes, poor Blenkiron. Mind you, his health was never good, was it?
I suppose not, no.
Look here, are you sure you two have got to push on today?
Well, yes, I'm afraid we have.
Ah.
It's been an absolutely topping weekend, of course.
Good. Sorry I haven't been on best form, exactly.
Got a lot on your mind, we can see that.
Don't toady, Archie. We've told you what to do, Sandy. And when we come back from honeymoon, we shall expect to find you engaged, if not married.
Yes, well, the thing is, I may not be here.
What do you mean?
Thinking I might just hail a ship and push off.
Where to?
Far Arabia. And the point is, if I'm not back when you return, you don't hear from me for a bit. I don't want you to worry.
Sandy, what are you drivelling on about?
I told you, I can't grow up. Well, have you two finally decided where you are going on this honeymoon of yours?
As a matter of fact, we rather fancy South America.
South America?
Don't look so alarmed. I'm told all the problems of the future will be concerned with the New World. Might be rather useful to me as an MP, and it's got a romance to it, wouldn't you say?
It's a pestilential place, from what I've heard. Full of bandits and drugs and poisonous insects. No place for a honeymoon. I'd give South America a wide berth. Really, I would.
Needless to say, some 6 weeks later, Archie and I disembarked from our liner at the gleamingly efficient port of Olifa City, capital of Olifa, the fifth largest republic in South America. I, who had never ventured further than Closters. We were met and escorted to the equally gleaming Hotel de la Constitucion by the Anglo-Olifan British Vice Consul, Don Alejandro Ged, who scrutinized us benignly via an eyeglass.
I'm intrigued. Olifa is an unusual place to embark on a honeymoon tour of South America.
In what way?
People come here to do business, Sir Archibald. They enrich their pockets, know their hearts.
I'm a member of Parliament. I'm keen to learn something about the politics of Olifa and South America generally.
Very well. The embassy has left you in my hands. It will be my privilege.
Thank you.
But of politics in the old sense, I'm afraid you will find little. We are too rich and too busy. Ah, certainly when we were poor, we went from dictatorship to revolution to dictatorship, but now, even the vaqueros in the hills are content. Consequently, we are tame and virtuous. It has no problems, this so fortunate land of ours. Money is our politics, and we are rich.
Olifa is a utopia, Don Alejandro.
Olifa is a well-nourished body, but without a soul. Is that a utopia? When you travel abroad, as I do...
I shall never forget my first sight of him. To say that I was looking at my father, or what I had always imagined my father would have become had he lived, is perhaps banal, but inescapable. The same frock coat that Daddy was wearing in the photograph taken in Beecham Terrace, standing by the Lancia. The same fastidiously neat beard, though greyer, of course. And those eyes, set wide apart, calm, unblinking, with all the strength and intelligence that I had longed so desperately for poor Daddy to have. I told myself off sternly for being what you, Mother, would describe as fanciful.
I say, who's the bigwig?
Is that your president? What's he called? Bianca?
A bigger wig than that, even. His name is Castor. He arrived in a country from Europe after the war. Nobody had heard of him. He is now a prince.
Yeah.
Prince?
Figuratively, madame. In the eastern part of Olifa, there is a vast arid wasteland surrounded by mountains. We call it the Grand Seco, the Great Thirst, for it is largely desert. But it is very rich in minerals, above all, copper. The presidente of the Grand Seco Mining Company and the governador of the province is the man you have just seen. Since he rules the Grand Seco, he rules Olifa. You could say our presidente is presidente.
Unelected.
Castor has made us rich, Sir Archibald. We wouldn't care for elections. When a country's belly is full, his heart can't sleep. You are fortunate people. Castor keeps rooms here at the Hotel de la Constitution, but we Olifans hardly see him. He descends upon us suddenly, then vanishes like a river mist.
I think I should like to visit the Grand Seco.
I regret no one visits the Grand Seco without a permit from the governador. I don't say it is impossible, but believe me, it is a hard, brutal land. No place for a lady.
This lady would like to see for herself.
Observe, if you will, the men at that table. They were for Castor in the Grand Seco. Observe the pale complexions, the dull, empty eyes.
Yes, I've been watching them. They're like automata. What is the matter with them?
Whatever the reason, copper fumes, some fever of the hills. The Grand Seco is not a healthy place, Lady Rylance.
We just want to visit. We're not planning to settle there.
Take my advice, Don Alejandro. When she sets her mind to something...
Very well, I will put it in train.
Thank you. And meanwhile...
Meanwhile, I shall be your guide. At least here in Alifa City, you can't breathe deep.
No doubt you have been led to believe the Villan Americans are all desperado. Instead, you find a typical bourgeois republic. We have no beggars, no criminals. In short, we have no mystery.
I do see what you mean. Your city is charming, but it's also smooth and polished. Not dead, exactly.
Hey, Janet, a couple coming towards us. I know him. Damn it, it's Hamilton. Corporal Hamilton. He was with Sandy's mob at Amiens. What the devil's he doing out here?
How odd. And Archie, that girl with him, I've seen her somewhere, I know I have.
Excuse me, Hamilton, Corporal Hamilton. Good afternoon, madam.
Good afternoon to you.
Look here, Hamilton, you remember me, don't you? We were at Amiens together.
I shall hear Captain Sir Archibald Rulings.
What a strange place to meet again. What are you doing here?
I'm with you in Shepton Harbour, the Corinna, in the engine room.
I didn't know you were an engineer.
Well,
the best. Nothing but the best is good enough for us Yankees on holiday. Isn't that right, Glasgow?
Ah, that's right.
Look, we must have a drink. Come round to my hotel. I'm at Lacombe.
Oh, you'll have to forgive me, sir. I'm awful busy.
Oh. Righto, sorry.
Nice meeting you, Sir Rylance. Come on, Glasgow. We'd better get moving.
Excuse me. Haven't we met before?
Have we? Don't think so. Sure hope we meet again. So long.
That's strange. Geordie Hamilton and Sandy and I went through a lot together in the war. He was with me when I got wounded. Just now he seemed positively shifty. And who was the American? Didn't seem to want to introduce her, did he? Don Alejandro, do you know who she is?
I've seen the boat in the harbour, but apart from that...
What? Yeah, I've remembered. I knew I'd met her somewhere. It was in Scotland. Three months ago. It's the girl we talked about with Sandy, remember? Poor Blencairn's niece.
Oh, extraordinary. Well, Don Alejandro, perhaps your city contains a mystery after all.
The Corinna upped anchor and moved on that night, and we didn't see either of them again. What grew to be a far greater concern to us, and in its own way another mystery, was the apparently interminable delay in getting permits to visit the Gran Seco. Finally, Don Alejandro persuaded us, instead of kicking our heels in the city, to visit his cousin's ranch at Vero, about 30 miles inland. Our host turned out to be a dashingly handsome caballero called Don Luis de Mazaniga, formerly captain in one of the crack regiments in the highly regarded Olifan army. Don Luis proudly showed us round his vast savannah estate with its enormous stock of horses. But there was something reserved, almost hostile in his manner.
I have asked for coffee to be served out here on the veranda.
Oh, what a beautiful night. I've never seen the stars so clearly.
Don Luis, is that a range of mountains on the horizon?
Indeed, Lady Roland.
And beyond them the Gran Seco?
That is correct. I believe you were a pilot with the Royal Flying Corps, Archibald.
Yes, that's right.
I was 18 years old in the last year of the war, but I was lucky enough to obtain a commission in the French Air Force.
Did you, by Jove?
So we were, in a way, comrades in arms, yes?
Absolutely.
May I presume then to offer you some impertinent advice?
No?
To both of you? Do not go to the Gran Seco. Return to Olifa, get on board the first ship, and go home.
Home?
Or Valparaiso or Buenos Aires, if you prefer, but get out of Olifa.
Why?
I cannot tell you why. But I say to you, do not seek to find the real Olifa. Be content with the mask.
This is getting damned annoying, frankly. First you try to dissuade us, Don Alejandro, then Don Luis. And as for this endless bureaucratic fiddle...
There was any reason given.
Ah, I'm sorry.
Is there nothing we can do?
You could always ask the gobernador himself. There he is, getting out of the leaf.
Why not?
Madame, a joke!
Signor Castor, please.
Damn it, no.
I'm sorry to bother you, Signor Castor. My name is Lady Roylance. This is my husband, Sir Archibald Roylance. He's a British Member of Parliament, and...
I know.
Oh. Well, you see, the thing is, we would very much like to visit your... the Gran Seco. But your office has refused us permits.
That's incomprehensible, Lady Roylance. Permits shall be sent round to you this afternoon. What must you think of us, Archibald?
I'm
sure you will appreciate that we have established, as it were, a Sheffield, a modern industrial centre in Root Hill country. The 16th century and the 20th can coexist only if the latter is given in small doses. But distinguished visitors like yourselves are most welcome. Please accept my apologies for the delay. We look forward to welcoming you in Grand Seco.
As he spoke, I found myself mesmerized, not only by his clear, unblinking eyes, but by the tight, thin movement of his mouth behind his beard. Oh, that beard! So uncannily, hauntingly like my father's. But his mouth was not slow and soft like Daddy's. It was cold, calculating, even cruel. Daddy wasn't cruel, was he? Perhaps he was to you, Mother. You hinted sometimes, but I doubted. Not to me, certainly. Handsome and sad in his armchair, the bruised nightmare memories of war swimming in his eyes behind the alcohol. Now here he was, risen from his grave, a scholar, a warrior king, fastidious, decisive, and cruel. Undoubtedly cruel. Nor, later, was this an impression that Castor's apparent civility and courtesy to us on our arrival in Grand Seco was able to dispel.
We observe, I think you will agree, what might be called the aesthetics of function, not decoration. The city was built for a purpose. It fulfills it.
Neat, clean, well laid out streets, symmetrical buildings and concrete blocks.
Not for us, the gilded palaces of Europe. I abhor
like
waste.
Like an orderly, well-policed hell. Nothing random, nothing wrong, nothing human.
Our operation is truly international. My colleagues come from across the globe. Even my vice president, Senor Rosas, sadly away at the moment, is from Mexico. We are a cocktail, a carefully selected
the men,
cocktail.
Hardly a woman to be seen, walk around like waxworks. Their faces expressionless, their eyes unseeing, fixed on whatever this famous purpose is.
In the 20th century, we have a unique opportunity, don't you think? We have the knowledge and the power to redefine ourselves. Science, not sentiment, will lead the way.
Archie, let's get away from here.
Suspicion is healthy, no? Cynicism? You must allow me to be suspicious, for example, of all words ending in ocracy.
Please, Archie.
Yes, even democracy, Sir Archibald. Do you not concede that, in the right hands, 20th century science and philosophy can devise something infinitely better than democracy? In the right hands.
Please, Archie, please!
All right, old thing, all right. We'll leave tomorrow, if you insist. Wake the whole darn hotel up if we're not careful. Not like you to get jumpy.
Well, there's evil here. I hate it.
It's ugly, I grant you, but industrial cities are, as he said. 19th century Sheffield wasn't exactly, well...
It's evil, Archie.
Oh, well, no arguing with a woman's intuition, eh?
If you make me angry, I really will wake the hotel up.
Sorry. Sorry. Come on, old girl, let's get some sleep. What do you say? Next stop, Rio de Janeiro?
Buenos Aires.
Valparaiso?
Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires it is. Yes? I mean, see?
Buenos dias, señor, señora. Aquí está el té que pidió usted.
Ah, actually, yes, an error, I think. No pedimio... Janet, wake up, darling. Did you order early morning tea?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I need a copy, and if you two don't.
What?
And while we're at it, let's get some light on the thing.
Sandy!
You old devil! You absolute nutter madman!
What are you doing here, you donkey, scaring us to death like that? And why the waiter's rig?
Rather successful, isn't it? But more to the point, what are you two doing here? Don Alejandro and Luis both do their best to dissuade you, but still you bubble up. You're an impossible pair.
And why shouldn't we come up?
Because it's damn dangerous. For you and for others. This place is cursed.
Well, Archie, now who's being jumpy?
But you don't know how cursed it is, and I haven't time to explain. Look, I need your help, both of you. But please go back to Alifa City today. An American girl will make contact with you at your hotel. She'll give you instructions.
Tall girl, dark hair, Blen Kiron's niece, am I right?
Yes. She wondered if you'd remember.
What's her name?
Miss Dacent, I think. They seem to call her Babs. Well, do you two jackanapes want some tea or not?
Gone was the broody, moody introvert we saw skulking in the hills in Scotland. Here was Sandy, the man of action again. And it all made sense. Why he didn't even want us to come to South America in the first place. Luis and Don Alejandro trying to steer us away from the Gran Seco. Bumping into Hamilton and Barbara Dacent in Oliver City. Archie and I found ourselves being drawn ineluctably into his fevered web. We could, of course, have said no, I suppose. But you wouldn't have done, would you, Mother?
If you two are going to commit yourselves to us, you should understand certain things.
Absolutely. Fire away.
What we're dealing with is a dictator. His agenda is quite simply a new world order. We're based here at Vero because Don Luis recruited us to help stop him achieving his aim. This ranch is one of the headquarters of a movement that has been building secretly for many months now. I think you'd better consider carefully, Archie, that to join a South American revolution may not be the best possible career move for a new member of Parliament.
Oh, damn it, if Castro's as evil as you
say. I didn't say he was evil. He does evil things. But with a different spin of the coin, he might have been a saint.
Isn't that a little fanciful?
He is scrupulously loyal to what he believes to be right. He believes that there are those who should govern, notably himself, and those who should be governed. It's not that he hates democracy. That would be emotional, unscientific. He despises it. And the biggest champion of democracy is America. So with America, it is war. A ruthless, implacable war.
And in my view, Lord Clanroyden, that makes him evil.
Very well, Miss Dacent. My point
I want to know is, why do we take him so seriously? Don Luis, I'd never heard of Castor before we came out here.
Well, precisely. And it's our job to stop him before the world does get to hear of him. You must understand that he has, in my country, a perfect power base. He has achieved, as Sandy says, absolute control by the simple expedient of giving us prosperity and taking away our identity. The drug of prosperity. We should never underestimate its power to create a society of slaves. Tell people that the only legitimate goal in life is to satisfy greed, and they will believe you, even applaud your wisdom for a while. So long as they do, they are your slaves. But you see, Castor also has another more tangible drug at his disposal. You remarked, I believe, on the expressions of the men in Castor's entourage, the glazed eyes, the pallid skin.
Yes, Archie called them automata.
In the eastern part of the Gran Seco, Castor discovered a plentiful supply of a drug used for centuries by the Indians. It is called Astura. Castor has made these men its slaves, and therefore his slaves. His Praetorian Guard, his conquistadors, as they are known. Brave, restless men from all over the world now go about doing his business ruthlessly and without question. They stop literally at nothing.
Even so, militarily...
Of course. He realizes he can't bomb democracy out of existence, but he thinks he can make it destroy itself. He already controls the international copper market, and he thinks that he may soon be able to destabilize not only Wall Street, but the London Stock Exchange and all the major European money markets. And by Jove, he's not doing badly at the moment, is he? Wall Street looks set fair to shake itself to bits. He must be the most successful agent provocateur in history.
So how do we fight him?
Ah, good. I want you all to welcome the vice president of the Gran Seco Mining Company, right-hand man to the gobernador, Senor Castor himself, Eduardo Rosas from Mexico.
John Scantlebury Blenkiron at your service, ladies and gentlemen.
Damn it, every single newspaper says...
Rumors of my death were greatly exaggerated, Archie. Good to see you both.
What kept you, Uncle John?
Affairs of state, my dear Babs, weighty mining matters. Talking of which, could somebody get me a glass of cold milk? My ulcer is behaving vilely. I suspect it is all the fault of the Royal Anseys. But it was a tricky business keeping out of your way in Gran Seco. Never mind. Welcome aboard.
Well, we don't know if they are aboard yet. Archie was just asking how we fight Castor.
In that case, I beg leave to report to my commander-in-chief, Lord Clanroyden, sir, that all but one of the platoons of the mines police have confirmed their loyalty to us.
Good.
And to the best of my knowledge, the Indian workforce, to a man. It's looking good. Castor plans to leave for Europe in about 10 days. That's when we must move. Mm.
But surely Castor has the entire might of the Alifan Army, Navy and Air Force. It is his...
We're not going to fight Castor, Archie. Huh? We're going to fight for him.
Are you waffling about it?
Hearts and minds. It's a new kind of war I'm after, Archie. A spiritual conquest. We're going to make Castor our leader.
As mad as a hatter. Do anything I'm told. That is, unless... What do you say, Janet?
I've no idea what the rules of this particular game are, but I'll tell you one thing.
I'm not going to miss it.
Ah, a girl.
Thank you. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you all.
A toast. And what shall we drink to?
I'll give you a toast. The courts of the morning.
What on earth is, or are, the courts of the morning?
All in good time, Janet. Good idea, Miss Dacent. The courts of the morning.
Hello, Babs.
Hi.
Why don't you settle up and join me? It's glorious. You can't really prefer sitting under a tree with a book.
I was brought up on a ranch, don't forget. Bow-legged by the time I was three.
What are you reading?
Little number by John Maynard Keynes called Economic Consequences of Peace.
Oh, wow.
I'm just one of those oddballs who's genuinely interested in politics, I'm afraid. I guess maybe that's why Uncle John recruited me.
There was a time when you couldn't keep my nose out of a book. I wanted to go to university. Not that I'd have been any good, I don't suppose. My mother wouldn't hear of it.
Me too. My old man.
Really?
Britain's not the only country where young women have to be young ladies. A little genteel nursing was my lot.
Are you the black sheep, then?
I guess I take after my crazy uncle.
He's nice.
He's crazy.
Are you worried about him?
Of course. But he's enjoying himself. Besides, he's got a stake in all this, like all Americans. That's why we were able to finance so much of it in the States. It's Lord Clanroyden I don't understand. I mean, you and Sir Archie, well, fell into this by accident. But what drives him to leave his castle in Scotland and come out here to what? Risk his life, certainly. He's hard to figure out.
Yes, he is. Do you like him?
He's kind of rude to me most of the time. He never married?
No, he says he won't.
Yeah?
That's what he says.
Oh, well... Not long now, eh? Be good to get started.
Deuce cheek of us to call on you at a hotel, sir, but we heard you're on your way to Europe, and as we're leaving ourselves on Friday for Panama, well...
Excellency, we're being very bold. The fact is, we want you to dine with us tomorrow night. Oh, dear. Have I been too bold?
By no means. It's just that I have not been asked to dine by a young woman for many years. Alas, I fear I do not go into society. There are problems.
Oh, we understand that. A restaurant would be impossible. What we propose is that you come and dine with us on our friend's yacht, the Corinna. It's moored in the harbour. Then we can have a proper talk for the first time. And Archie and I will sit at your feet, won't we, darling?
Rather.
Your invitation is most seductive, Lady Roylance. I will be on the Old Quay at 7:30. Oh, and I hope you will understand, there are three men who always attend me. My people insist.
Absolutely. We'll send the big launch. How marvellous.
It's an ugly picture we Americans present to the world. And I know you hate it, Excellency.
You're so hard on yourselves, Miss Dacent. In my view, you are a great people, but one which has not yet found itself.
You are tolerant, Excellency, because you do not like America. I am intolerant because I love it.
A very honorable confession of faith. And I might add an excellent dinner, though I noticed you hardly ate a thing, Lady Roylance. Nothing wrong, I trust?
No. To my shame, my carefully rehearsed ebullience deserted me, and I felt tongue-tied. I could scarcely believe that our audacious plan seemed on the point of fruition. Castor himself, this awesome, mesmerizing, yes, utterly seductive monster, was here at our table on the after-deck of the Corinna, drinking coffee and sipping French brandy.
Would you agree, Sir Archibald, that the Napoleon of the future must win by other methods than by war?
With respect, no, sir. I accept that warfare as we know it ended in the autumn of 1918, but in the future we will see a different kind of war, a war of ideology, a spiritual conquest. Excuse me. Yes?
Hamilton's compliments, sir. He says the men have finished the job aft.
Thank you. Tell Hamilton to carry on, please.
Aye, aye, sir.
The spiritual conquest. You young people are relics of the Middle Ages.
So is human nature.
Well, of course, we must allow for the spasmodic impulses of human nature, but are you saying that human intelligence should be docilely governed by impulse and instinct?
You are too clever, Excellency. You would make science and reason rule over a dimension to which they don't apply.
What do you say, Lady Rollins? What's this? We're moving. Good God, what are you people doing?
You're our prisoner, I'm afraid, sir. And there's no use shouting for your bodyguard. They're also our prisoners, so please, don't do anything rash. Our men are all about, and they carry guns.
What nonsense is this?
We intend to free Oliva from your rule, sir, and we want you to help.
I was right when I said you were still in the Middle Ages. You're a set of melodramatic children. But I suppose I must submit to this prank. Where are you taking me?
There. I knew you'd be dignified about it. I told you when we asked you to dinner that we were going to sit at your feet. That is quite true, you know. We do want you to be our leader.
You're mad. Where are you taking me?
To the courts of the morning, Excellency.
I used to have a childhood vision of heaven as some kind of unending moonlit beach, the sand warm beneath my toes, curving round an infinitely shimmering lagoon. Now, I think of the courts of the morning. A green, sunlit plateau bounded on the one side by sheer cliffs dropping away to the Pacific, and on the other by the mountain of the two winds. Here, in this isolated, impregnable, far northern corner of Alifa, for some months now a camp had been being prepared. A little cantonment of log cabins and tents, and horse lines, a hospital, a wireless station, aeroplane hangars, a landing strip. Here, while Sandy, Luis and Glencairn led the military campaign 200 miles away in the Tierra Caliente, we coordinated plans, marshaled equipment and supplies, prepared for the wounded. We each had our own special area. Babs was assigned to the hospital. Archie, thankfully invalided out of frontline service, was in charge of air reconnaissance and movement. My own responsibility was a subject that grew to fascinate me more as each day passed. Castor himself.
Did you know your province contained a corner of such extraordinary beauty, Excellency?
I did not, for which I blame myself. It is certainly a place to intoxicate youth.
And you?
Ah, I am no longer young. To me, it is merely a picturesque mantelpiece between the Sierras and the sea.
I don't think I believe you. I suspect you're as enchanted by it as I am. Just as I suspect that deep down you are thrilled that we made you our leader.
You foolish children are at least consistent in your folly. Tell me one thing, Lady Roylands. You invite me to walk with you, apparently at my liberty. Supposing I chose to exercise it.
How? There are only two ways in or out of the courts of the morning. By land to the east, one narrow ravine which our troops guard day and night, and to the west by sea, a sheer cliff face. Difficult to escape from, Excellency. Easy to defend.
Not against the entire Olifan armed forces.
They don't know where we are.
One reconnaissance plane.
Why should they look up here? You'd never even heard of the place. The battle will be 200 miles away in the Tierra Caliente. That's where they'll think we are. Except those who believe you're in Beirut or Amsterdam or New York. That was Archie's idea. Good, isn't it? Your conquistadors will be chasing all over the world looking for you.
You are children.
I know. But it is rather fun. Oh, don't raise your hopes, Excellency. That'll be Archie. I think he's brought someone up from the front. Someone who wants to meet you.
And who is that?
He asked if I'd take you to the mess hut. Shall we go?
I think you owe me an explanation, Lord Clanroyden.
Indeed I do. But first let me report to you as my commander-in-chief.
I'm not your... Never mind.
3 days ago, as you know, we took Gran Seco City. Now your entire province is in our hands.
Sandy, that's wonderful.
Whose hands do you mean?
Well, the name the newspapers of the world are associating with the revolt against the Alifan government is, of course, yours, Excellency. You were the creator of the Gran Seco. You are going to be its liberator.
You expect the world to believe that I would destroy my own creation?
Well, the copper industry will not suffer. Blenkiron will see to that.
Blenkiron? Blenkiron is dead.
Well, so the newspapers were given to believe. You know him as the Mexican, Senor Rosas. your vice president.
Rosas.
Now our operational commander. Your operational commander.
Good God.
More coffee, Excellency.
Do not imagine I will be defeated by bandits, however audacious. What do you want from me?
You stand for certain things. Things that we hate.
Such as?
You subscribe to the cant of the Superman. You despise democracy and seek to destroy it. To achieve your ends, you use up men like slaves.
So, the charge against me is that I'm not a sentimentalist. As your quarrel is with me personally, would not a bullet in my head be the most satisfactory solution?
Certainly not. We leave murder to your conquistadors. No. We think so highly of you, we're going to have a try at saving your soul.
Oh, Excellency, what an honor. Oh, come in.
Thank you, no. I was merely curious.
Well, look here. Why don't we dance? There's only us to see.
No, I... No, thank you.
What on earth are you waiting for? Go on. Excellency, please. It's so rare to see you in the mess hut. We didn't mean to drive you away. Why don't you stay and help us roll bandages? Don't you like Jelly Roll Morton's music?
I can't say that I've ever heard.
What about Gershwin? I think we've some Elgar.
I don't listen to music.
Oh, I bet you've just never taken the time. Aren't I right?
Good night.
You know, it's really strange.
What is?
You. Up here. A king without a country.
I'm the same man, Lady Roylands, even if you can't see my regalia.
Are you?
Is this you trying to save my soul?
Good heavens, no. It's just... This is a place of such enchantment. Can't you enjoy it a little?
You're keeping me from my life's work.
I suppose we are. Oh, dear. You're so certain about everything. But isn't it good for the scientist to come out of his laboratory? To smell the grass?
To listen to music.
Why not? What do you do all day in your cabin? We hardly see you.
I think. Sometimes I write.
Oh, Excellency. I know you're a man of destiny and all that, but let's face it, we've got the upper hand at the moment. And we could all be here for ages and... No, wait, listen, please. Just listen to that child's voice. Please. There. Is that not beautiful?
Good night, Lady Roylands.
Go on, just talk to him. Tell him. Simple as that. No need to be scared of Sandy.
I'm not scared, damn it. Oh, look, maybe I am. He won't talk to me, Janet. He scarcely acknowledges I'm there.
Women make him shy.
You don't.
Besides, he's completely done in. He never seems to go to bed. Just tell him straight. I'll stay with you. Come on.
Sorry to interrupt you both, but we've got something we need to talk to you about, Sandy, before you return to the front. At least Babs has.
Well?
Your authorization, Lord Clanwarden. The beds the quartermaster's asked for must not be requisitioned. They'll be wounded coming back from the front, and with our own people falling sick...
Have we had many fall sick, Archie?
Well, Babs would know better
than I. Not many, yet. A little dysentery, that's all. But it's early days. The point is, those beds must be kept for my sanatorium, and adequate rations must be set aside.
Well, that seems to make sense, doesn't it, Archie?
Yes, but look here, Babs would be able to give you a...
I've drawn up a little list of things I'll need. I understand there's a supply boat due in soon. Bandages, of course. Iodines, splints, morphine, some more stretchers. It's all written down here.
Oh, fine. Well, if it's important, we'd better radio the order through, hadn't we, Archie? Look, can you organize it? I've got to go...
Damn it, Lord Clanroyden, I'll organize it. I know I'm a woman and an American, but will you please address your replies to me when I'm talking to you? I will not be made invisible.
I'm sorry, I didn't...
Don't go to hell.
You deserve that, Sandy.
Did I? Probably.
What got into you, old chap?
No, I don't know. Not used to having a woman around when I'm fighting a war.
I dealt with enough nurses in France.
Oh, yes, yes, but they were...
What?
Different. Oh, Archie, I wish I was more like you.
idea, really. Expect he wishes he was an old bonehead like me.
Yes, that's probably it.
How does one ever understand anything about Sandy? Mad as a hatter always has been. The only time he's happy is when he's fighting in war. Feel sorry for him, really.
I do.
And do you really think it's because he cares for her?
What do you think?
Funny way of showing it. But you may be right. How do you know what's going on in another chap's head? Especially if that chap happens to be Sandy.
Kiss me, Archie.
I think...
What?
I think I'm the luckiest man alive.
Are you flying down with Sandy tomorrow?
Yeah, just for a bit.
I'll miss you.
What are you going to do?
Not sure. The usual.
Is he interesting to talk to?
Castor? Yes, when he chooses to be.
I mean, you find him interesting, do you?
He's an enigma.
You like him?
I don't hate him, as I used to.
No, he's clever enough, certainly.
Yes.
Whatever else he is.
Yes.
He's certainly clever, unlike yours truly. Got into the wrong queue there, all right, didn't I?
Well, you're being a chump, Archie.
He certainly likes you.
How do you know?
A chap can tell.
I thought a chap couldn't tell what was going on in another chap's head.
No, sometimes a chap can't. And then sometimes he can.
You taught me never to lie to others. But what about lying to oneself? I was not lying to Archie, but perhaps I was not telling the truth to myself. Castor was unquestionably a cold, ruthless manipulator, responsible, we had no doubt, for the destruction of countless lives. It was our job, perhaps particularly my job, to... what? Bring him to life? To reunite him with his shriveled old heart? On the face of it, a futile enough quest. But, of course, I was convinced it could be done, that I could do it. And from conviction sprang, well, obsession. It's easy to see the truth now. This man, my father, as I might in some ways have wished him, with his mystery, his powerful intelligence, yes, his pain, began more and more to occupy a place in my mind. Not my heart. My mind. I was absolutely sure I had not admitted him to any place in my heart. I think I still am. Why would you like to come up here, Excellency?
The better to search the skies. Why else?
Still hoping for deliverance.
One day, believe me, it will happen.
The Olifan army is too busy fighting a war to find you up here.
It is not the Olifan army who will seek me out.
Your conquistadors.
If they were my enemy, Lady Roylands, I would fear them.
Well, let's wait and see.
You are a fool. A childish fool. You should never have become involved in this. And your husband was a fool to let you.
Anyway, you have to admit it is a beautiful enough place to be a fool. Look down there. Those horses grazing. And the wood smoke. Like a child's painting.
I have always lived in towns.
And?
Just that.
I'm a Highlander. Born and bred.
I've seen many excellent photographs of Scotland.
Have you?
It must be strange to live amongst hills.
Why?
There are no facts on hilltops.
Of course.
Here, for instance, it's bad for me. I have no facts to work upon. I begin to make pictures.
We all do.
Romantics make pictures, Lady Roylands, not scientists.
Aren't scientists lonely without pictures?
I have always been lonely.
Why did you never marry?
Oh, well, marriage. Yes, perhaps, who knows, if I'd met someone. Perhaps like you. Long ago. Your husband, I think.
So, how's it going down there?
Fine.
Sandy sends salams to all.
How is the cantankerous old so-and-so?
Stop, man. Never saw a fellow in such spirits. He's giving off sparks.
And General Olivares?
Not the country on our side. Poor Olivares never knows where we are. He feels us, but he doesn't know where to hit back.
You still cannot hope to defeat him?
No, sir, but we can tire him out. Then Alifa will make peace on our terms. On your terms, that is. Expecting another flight in?
I don't think so, are we?
Not as far as I know.
Anyway, two nights ago, we went out with a troop of cavalry. It was a big white moon, and the shale looked like snowdrifts. All you could hear was the thud of hooves and... What the hell? Down! 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 Olivares tracked us down.
Well, I guess we knew it would happen one day.
Not Olivares.
Sorry?
What did I tell you, Lady Roylance? Did I not try to warn you?
Warn? What about?
In any case, it makes no difference. Olivares will know soon enough. I'm afraid your holiday camp is over.
You sound almost sad, sir.
By no means. Perhaps an end to all this tomfoolery is at last in sight. Facts only from now on, Lady Roylance. No more pictures.
Well, I think we'd better prepare for visitors, don't you?
Stand a little more sideways, my lady. Yeah, that's it. Or General Olivares here fighting for us. Oh, he might just surrender at once. Perhaps it would be better not to look round just now, but do you know we're being watched?
Where is he?
In the trees behind you.
What's he doing?
Steering at you, my lady. I've no wish to be disrespectful, but sometimes I reckon he must have come down from another galaxy.
Oh, I think he's as mortal as the rest of us, Corporal. Well, would you like to set the targets up? I think I can do better.
Okay, let's have a look. Hmm, over 100. You've got a tidy fever brewing.
I never fall ill.
You have this time, Excellency, and you're going to stay in that bed till I tell you different. See you in the morning. You coming, Janet?
I'll just collect my things. There. I think that's all I need. If you want anything, just call for the guard to fetch one of us. Good night, Excellency.
Lady Roland.
Yes?
Thank you for letting me have your cabin.
Well, it makes sense. With Archie away. And there's a nice stove for you.
I hope you won't be cold in mine.
Oh, I'm a tough Scottish lassie.
Do tough Scottish lassies get frightened?
We're not supposed to.
I'm glad you've learned to use that pistol.
Maybe I'll shoot General Olivares.
I keep telling you, it's not Olivares we have to fear.
We?
I meant... Never mind.
Shall I turn your lamp down?
Thank you.
There. Well, I better...
When I first met you...
Yes?
I had a clear course, all marked out.
And?
You have stolen my chart away.
Good night. Was that what I'd been wanting him to say? Had I, in truth, been seeking his love? My father's love that I thought I had learned so painfully to do without? Or was it to bring the monster into my power? Was I guilty of incitement? Or guilty merely of being a woman in the presence of a vulnerable man? I lay sleepless on the stern bunk in his cold, bleak cabin as the wind raged round me, struggling to understand what he and I were doing to each other. I never for one moment doubted my love for Archie. I'd done nothing, said nothing to betray it. So why did I feel unfaithful? I wonder if that ever happened to you, Mother. I would so like to believe it had. I must have finally dozed off with the light on. When I awoke, the storm was at its peak. But it was not the thunder that awoke me. I turned towards the door.
faces. Voices coming out of the dark that I'd never seen before. Rain dripping from their beards.
It's the wrong cabin, Michael. Huh? Carl stole us the wrong cabin.
I reached for the gun under my pillow.
Look out! Take her with us. Take her also. The light! Turn the light out!
She makes a noise, but it can lick.
Hurry, hurry! Oh. You're right, my costume.
The flesh wound, I'll make the whore pay for it.
Go! Go!
I let my body go limp. Powerful hands would pick me up and throw me over broad, bony shoulders. A blanket snatched from the bunk was thrown over my head. They ran across the grass through the lines of huts towards the trees on the perimeter. As my head bounced against the man's back, I could smell the damp, sodden clothes mingling with the unpalatable odor of an unfamiliar body.
Get down, get down!
One word from you, woman, and I'll cut your throat.
The
shot came
from the east. The line
patrol
needs reinforcements. Move it. Move,
Greg. Come on.
I hold on only to blurred fragments of a nightmare. Being roped down a cliff face, my knuckles and knees, as I subsequently discovered, scraped raw and bleeding. Being thrown into the bottom of a boat, trying to protect my ribs as the boat battered the howling waves. Men rowing in grim, fierce silence. And then suddenly dawn and stillness. And being bundled up onto the floats of a seaplane and into a cabin. From somewhere, engines coughing to life, straining across the water, and then lifting. Lifting, take me away from Archie, from the courts of the morning, away from everything. Hours later, slumped across the hard, bony spine of a donkey jolting up a rocky mountain face, aching with pain. Lips cracked and parched, mind numb. And finally, cool. Cool darkness and sleep. I awoke, stiff and bruised, my mouth dry and painful. I was wearing men's clothes. Anger jolted through me at the realization that somebody must have dressed and presumably undressed me. I sat up, trying to focus. There was a smell of wood smoke. In the dark, I could see the embers of a fire, the smoke drifting towards the only other source of light, the opening to what I realized was a cave. I could make out the silhouette of a man. He had a pipe in his mouth.
Hello. I hear movement, yes? I thought maybe you sleep for 2 more days. How are you feeling? We bring you some food, yes?
Where am I?
A mountain holiday. The best hotel, yes? Poor Lady Roylands. It is Lady Roylands, no? We tried to work it out. Why do you sleep in the Gobernador's cabin? It makes a lot of trouble for us and for you.
What do you want from me?
Our Gobernador. When you give him back to us, we give you back your husband. Very simple. Now, we bring you some food, yes?
So began the strangest time of my life. And without you, Mother, I honestly doubt if I would have survived. You and, of course, Nanny. Between you, you managed to convince me that if I ever so much as shed a single tear, the Empire would be lost and the Kaiser would rule the world. So I didn't cry as a child, or not so that anybody ever saw. And thanks to you, I didn't cry in front of the conquistadors. I couldn't let the side down, now could I? It turned out that my jailers had brought me to their secret mountain retreat, which they had chosen originally because it was near the supply of their precious Astora. To this day, I still don't know what Astora looks like because I never actually saw anybody take it. But I knew when they had. Especially the Russian Mayakovsky. Count Mayakovsky, if he was to be believed. A man who could make my skin crawl at 100 paces. Unlike my other chief jailer, the Alifan, Signor Romanus. A lost soul if ever I saw one. Not that I wasted much sympathy on any of them, but he at least had gentleness in him.
I think the B-flat minor. Yes, your Wigmore Hall in London, 1921. No, before the war. Yes, oh, I hate not to remember.
I know what you mean.
I can hear it now, such beautiful music. No, Lady Roylands, you are being kind. Your memory is good. Mine is like an old curtain in the sunlight. No color, sometimes no shape. Astura is a cruel master.
Why do you not give it up, Signor Romanus?
Nobody gives up Astura. It was 1921, I think. Well, if you walk far enough, shall we return?
Oh, very well.
Well, the hotel is not so good, I'm afraid. But here in the mountains is beautiful, no? Maybe soon the Gobernador is back with us and you return. Until then, I, Romanes, will see that you are safe.
And if he doesn't return?
The Gobernador will not fail us.
They say you follow him because of the Astura. Is that right?
The Gobernador is a big man, Lady Roylands. He can see above the mountains. He promised us a new world. After the war, what life was left for people like us? What adventure. Civilization is to visit, not to live in. He gave us life. He gave us hope.
And now? The war finished 10 years ago. You're all 10 years older. Do you still believe Castor will give you a new world?
Perhaps. With that man, anything is possible. Some people give their life to God. I give mine to Castor.
Do you not want a home, children?
How? I live today, Lady Roylands. And I live tomorrow. With a story, you can ask no more.
You do not believe in change, that a man or woman is capable of changing?
Holy Father, forgive me, but I do not believe. You?
Certainly.
And if one man can be redempted, then also a society?
Certainly.
If a society, then the whole world?
Certainly.
You are a lucky woman, Lady Roylands.
Lucky, perhaps. Though alone in the darkness of my cave dwelling, my confidence shone less brightly. Long days and nights went by, and hope of rescue dwindled. Only Castor could know where they might have taken me. And perhaps I was once again his enemy. Or perhaps by now they had been forced to surrender to the Alifan army. If so, what of Archie? I lay in the dark and fought the tight knots of panic that seized me in waves. But I promise you, Mother, nobody would have known.
Lady Roylands.
Yes?
Am I permitted to enter?
Who is that? I can't quite see.
Mayakovsky, Lady Roylands.
Very well, Count.
You are hungry, I trust. Tonight I have prepared your food with my own hands. Tonight is special. Tonight Mayakovsky eats with you. You permit?
You are free to eat where you wish. I am your prisoner.
Oh, please, no, no, not prisoner, not tonight. 2 weeks ago, your bullet finds its mark here in my arm. But that is your right. Mayakovsky does not seek revenge. Tonight we will not speak of bullets and prisoners. Tonight we eat sirloin more tender even than you find in Paris. And voila! Not a leaf in wine, no, no, no. Not even the best wine from South America, but Lafitte, Chateau Lafitte 99. Magnificent. You agree? Lady Roylands.
What are you celebrating?
A little patience, Lady Roylands. I will tell you now. Please, eat.
I am not hungry.
A glass of wine will help your
appetite. Thank you, no.
I insist. Lady Roylands, why resist pleasure? A beautiful meal, a beautiful glass of wine. We can talk, you and I, of Paris and New York and London. We have much in common, I am so very sure. And then...
And then what, Count?
You are young, Lady Roylands, and beautiful, and lonely. I, too, am lonely.
You had better leave. I want you to leave here at once.
I have told you. Why resist?
Go away. Will you please go away?
This is so very foolish, Lady Roylands.
Go away!
It will not help you to shout. No one can hear you. I can, Mayakovsky, do as she says. Oh, Romanes, what a schoolboy you are.
Do as she says.
Oh, I see. I see. You want her for yourself. Well, we can share her, no?
Go now, and I will say nothing. You understand me?
Yes, Romanes. I understand you, Romanes.
Have you told her?
You tell her, schoolboy.
Thank you, Signor Romanes.
I'm sorry. Mayakovsky has been celebrating. I saw him coming up here. I thought it best to follow.
Thank God you did. Yes, he said something about a celebration. What's happened?
What is there to tell me?
The exchange has been agreed. Our gobernador is coming back to us.
I don't believe it. It's not possible.
You will see him yourself tomorrow.
Thank you for coming to our makeshift office, Lady Roylands.
What choice does a prisoner have? Besides, I wanted the evidence of my own eyes.
Not a prisoner much longer, I'm happy to say. My colleagues here and I are sorry our hospitality has been a little rough and ready. However, a good night's sleep tonight, and tomorrow you will be escorted on your journey. Not an easy one, I'm afraid, but worth it, no doubt, to be reunited with your husband and your friends.
How is my husband?
Anxious about you, but in good health. By late tomorrow, you can judge for yourself.
And you?
I shall resume my life's work. What else?
You will do battle against us?
If you and your friends continue to disrupt our plans, we shall be forced to, yes. And of course, we shall win.
You are at liberty to leave, Oliva, Lady Roylance. We certainly shall not prevent you.
It seems you have your clear course all marked out once more, Signor Castor. Your time on the courts of the morning has changed nothing.
Did you imagine that a few country walks with a sentimental young woman would be my redemption? Did you honestly believe you had succeeded in your absurd mission to save my soul? Gentlemen, there is no fool like a pious fool, would you not agree?
That night I did cry. But it was anger that drove me to it. Hot, unbridled anger of a kind I had never before known. That a man who had offered me his... yes, his love, who had sought and, to my shame, won my affection in return, should reject me so publicly, so contemptuously. It was an act of utter cruelty. A cruelty from which I, gullible, pathetic fool, had actually come to believe that on the courts of the morning I had rescued him. I sobbed bitterly until I slept.
My son, my soul will be well. It will only last a few hours.
Who's that? Oh, who's there?
Lady Roylance, you had a visitor.
What's happening? What is this?
Get up. Put this coat on and these gloves. Come on, come on. Don't just stare at me.
What do you want from me? I will not be humiliated by you again.
Necessarily, ploy, Lady Roylance. Forgive me, I am not your enemy. We shall return together. That is why I am here.
Why should I believe you?
Whether you believe me or not, we have 6 hours before dawn. We must hurry.
Senor Romanus?
No, he is your governor now, Lady Roylance, not ours. If he said it is better so, then for Romanus it is better so, and for you, I think.
What will happen to you?
They will find me in the morning at the mouth of the gate, poisoned by you. But don't worry, I shall soon recover and I shall be your friend. You may need me. Now, hurry!
There's nearly a mile of tunnel behind the cave. There are mules waiting when we get out to take us down to a plateau on the far side of the mountain. We will be met there. With any luck, we shall be back at Vero for breakfast.
As the mules bumped and slithered their way down the shaly mountainside, we barely spoke to one another. I was too distrustful of my emotions to want to speak. And, for that matter, distrustful still of him. But as dawn was breaking, we emerged onto a level plateau in a wide, silent valley. And sure enough, at one end, an incongruous 20th-century artifact in this vast natural wilderness, we could make out the comforting, sturdy lines of a little biplane. A sleepy figure stumbled excitedly out of it as we approached.
Hello. You got here, then?
Hello, Archie. Yes, we got here.
Good, I was asleep. It's good to see you. You all right?
I'm fine. It's good to see you too.
Yes. You kept your promise, sir.
Did you doubt it?
What promise?
I promised Sir Archibald I would return his wife to him.
I see.
Well, if you'd both like to climb aboard, let's get this bus in the air. They're waiting for us down at Vero.
When I got back the morning after you'd been taken, I'm not much of a hand with words, but I think I went rather mad. And then I went to see Castor, and, well, he was worse than me.
I tell you, it was deuced odd trying to comfort someone else for the loss of one's own wife, if you follow me.
Oh, Archie.
Anyway, he absolutely insisted that it was all his fault and that it was his job to get you back, and he had to agree. It was a bit of a risk. He could have been double-crossing us, but he wouldn't take no for an answer. It's extraordinary. I don't know how you've managed it, but you certainly have.
Have I?
Different chap. He's accepted, did you know? He's our commander-in-chief. It was a crazy idea, but it seems to have worked. Thanks to you.
Not just me, Archie.
Oh, I think so. I mean, well, he's in love with you, isn't he? Sorry to be so... I just can't think how else to put it.
Does it worry you if he is?
No. Well, no, that is if...
I love you, Archie.
Look here, you must be tired. This is your first night in a decent bed for weeks. I've got this blasted meeting tomorrow. Things haven't been progressing too well while you were away. I'm going to make some decisions. Better get some sleep.
Not yet, Archie.
Hmm? Oh. Oh. Yes, I see. Oh, good.
Despite our growing popular support, I think most of you acknowledge that it can only be a matter of time before Olivares' substantially superior forces break through the pass at Santa Ana. Before that happens, it is my view that we should approach the government in Olifa City and persuade them that it is in their best interest to yield to our terms. If we act with speed, I think we have a good chance of success.
You are asking us to admit defeat?
A negotiated victory, Lord Camroyden.
I don't like it.
Who do you propose as the negotiating team, Gobernador?
You, of course, Don Luis, as the Olifan founder of the revolution, and myself. I am not by birth Olifan, but on the courts of the morning, I believe I adopted Olifa. Or perhaps Olifa adopted me. Do you accept?
Oh, you are right. It is our best hope. I accept.
Oh, this is defeatist, damn it. It is wrong to write off the military campaign.
Now, hold your horses. Nothing's being written off, Sandy. If it's a scrap you still hanker for, there'll be plenty to do when they try to break through at Santa Ana.
Blenkiron's right. The longer you can hold Olivares at Santa Ana, the more chance we'll have of coming to terms with President Bianca.
And I am asking you to give me 2 more weeks before we go cap in hand.
Oh, blow your cap in hand. We haven't got 2 more weeks. Least of all, satisfy your pride.
I'm not talking about my
No.
pride.
You're a mean-tempered villain most of the time, Lord Clanroyden. At least you aren't to me. And you only seem happy when you're in a hopeless position.
Oh, what balderdash!
Most of us have got a stake in this business. But what exactly did you come out here to defend? I can't help suspecting it might just be some abstract notion of human dignity.
Oh, for crying out loud.
And for that, I'll fight with you to the ends of the earth. The way you're bottled up and fizzing, you're going to go off pop any day now, and somebody ought to be around to patch you up. You need a medical orderly in Santa Ana, and it's going to be me.
That a girl, that's a ticket. Sandy, surrender.
Well, if we're agreed, I suggest...
Not quite, Your Excellency. Might not a British MP make a good contribution to your negotiating team?
It could be dangerous. If we fail...
We've been with this thing 3 months now, sir. We may as well see it through.
An international team would impress these people, Gobernador. I know them.
Perhaps.
Then that's settled, isn't it? One British MP?
We are honored.
And one British MP's wife?
No.
But I insist, Your Excellency.
As your commander-in-chief...
I absolutely insist.
So it was that 3 days later, Castor, Don Luis, Archie and myself found ourselves being ushered into the high-ceilinged Moorish elegance of President Bianca's council chamber. Ringed with officials heavy with gold braid, he stared at us in what was for me a successful attempt at intimidation. Footsteps echoing on polished floors somewhere in the palace gave it a sense of hushed and mighty purpose. It was hard to remember that not 100 miles away, men were preparing for battle.
I cannot say welcome. I cannot believe I am looking at you. I cannot believe you are doing this.
I urge you to believe it, Mr. President.
Very well. I take it you have come to ask for terms?
No, we have come to offer them.
Señor Castor, once my friend, my colleague, yes, my leader, architect of the Gran Seco Empire, the man in whose hands it lay to make South America a great power, this same Señor Castor joins forces with a revolutionary rabble and now says he wants to dictate terms to me? Don Luis, your mother was my cousin. Tell me, am I dreaming?
The Republic of Olifa is in our hands, Mr. President.
We are in a position to dictate the terms of the peace.
I am not dreaming. Sir Archibald, Lady Rylance, what have the British to do with this foolishness?
Well, that is we...
As Democrats, Mr. President, we have tried to answer democracy's call.
Exactly.
Very well. What, may I ask, are your terms?
An immediate ceasefire, a massive reduction in the defense budget, legislation to protect the Indian labor force in the mines, and a general election.
I see.
We have made Olifa a mere machine for money and power. I once believed that was all humanity required. I was wrong. What science had persuaded me, my heart now denies. Like me, Olifa needs to discover herself.
She does? And what of your extraordinary proposition that the Republic of Olifa is in your hands? Have you forgotten that under General Olivares, we have the best equipped, the best trained army in South America?
We have immobilized them, Mr. President.
For how long?
Your men fight without heart. Our soldiers fight with something no training can teach, no defense budget can buy. Passion. And the people support us. With respect, sir, you have lived too long in your palaces here in the city. Go into the country, ask the people, then join us. For the sake of Olifa, we must work together.
Very well. We have listened, Don Luis. You have made many claims, many claims. However, we pay you the compliment of doing as you say. I shall send envoys under a flag of truce to speak to your people. When they return, we shall meet again. Your veracity has been vindicated, Senor de Marcenega, but not, I fear, your judgment. You have undoubtedly recruited many men, but our envoys report that they are all ill-armed and ill-disciplined. A rabble.
They are the people of Olifa.
The people whom we made prosperous. They will not fight. They have no reason.
Ask General Olivares at Santa Ana if he is fighting a rabble.
Olivares is a little busy at present. I understand he launched a major offensive against your positions in the early hours of the morning.
If, by any chance, the outcome does go against us, you should not worry. They will not dare take action against a British MP, even less his wife.
I'm not sure our gunboats come out this far, Luis. Anyway, maybe Bianca's bluffing. He knows he's losing popular support. Sandy's probably giving Olivares a good hiding as we speak.
Exactly. Well, it's possible. We've got to believe it's possible.
I would very much like to, Lady Rawlins. After all, in the battle for hearts and minds, you won mine, did you not? The war, however, is a different matter. The war, alas, is still to be won. If Olivares had only held off for 2 more days...
Well, we made the wager, Gobernador. Perhaps now we have to pay up. How does it feel?
It feels like an experiment.
I hope luncheon was to your satisfaction. I have just received a message that may be of interest to you. General Olivares is flying down from Santa Ana. He will be here at 6 o'clock tonight. So will the champagne. My commiserations.
General Olivares!
Sandy?
What the devil?
Hello? Lord Clanroyden, we were not expecting you. So your adventure is over. How sad that the first time we meet you should be our prisoner.
Oh, I'm not, sir. General Olivares here is mine. In the course of the attack this morning, his men deserted to us in such numbers that he surrendered just afternoon. I have the document with me, but I thought you might like to hear from him yourself.
Es verdad.
Es verdad, Presidente.
Señor Castor, Don Luis de Marzaniga, on behalf of the government and people of Olifa, we accept your terms.
Thank you.
Well, Lord Glamroyden, my congratulations. You have won your military victory and the battle for hearts and minds. You deserve your triumphal entry.
Excellency, I didn't know you were coming to Vero.
An invitation from our new president, Don Luis himself. A few days' peace, what could be better? I'm so very happy now to leave politics to the politicians.
That's good.
Sir Archibald doesn't like to ride.
He left this morning for Alifa to arrange our tickets home.
I see.
He thinks it may take him a couple of days. So, it's just Babs and me here, I'm afraid.
You and your husband are going back to Scotland.
Yes. So, it's a new life for you. What is it to be?
Ah, decisions. Maybe a walk this afternoon.
Very well. We'll pretend it's the courts of the morning.
You look 20 years younger tonight, Excellency.
Why not? As Lady Roiland says, I am beginning life again. I have been middle-aged. I have been old. Now I am young.
Oh, you've been doing a deal with that Mephistopheles.
I don't mean the past goes away, Miss Dacent. A man must atone for his blunders, his sins. But if he is lucky, his past will not come back. That I believe.
And are you lucky?
I am confident my past is beyond recall, Lady Roylands. For which I am very grateful. What next? The Verdi, perhaps. Mm. You see, I'm becoming a devotee.
Janet, turn your head slowly round to the window. Watch the group of statues. I think I saw them move. Excellency?
I see them too. Fool, 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 I should have guessed. Victory has left me dull. Make no sudden move. My jackals are loose and hungry for blood.
Conquistadors?
It's my blood they're after. It is I who have betrayed them. It is I who must pay. I will see that they do you no harm. How could I have failed to guess?
Can't we do anything? What about the servants?
I retired long ago, and the armory is the other side of the house. Just sit very still and let me talk to them. Persuasion is our best hope. Their guns are already trained on us. You're looking for me, I think. Won't you come in? Good evening, Count. You look a little off color. Signor Pasquale. Tim, not badly wounded, I hope. You too, Romanis.
Romanis?
Why do you look at me like that, whore? We know how you seduced our governador away from us.
Eduardo, I forbid you to speak like that.
You do not forbid. No more. You're not our governador. Stand over there. And you, quick.
Wait, Markovsky. The telephone, we must cut the line. The whore will show me where it is. You, come with me.
Where are you taking her? What are you...
Stay there, or I hit you again.
Do what he says, Babs.
Come, whore. Show me.
2 minutes, Romanus. No more.
Hurry. Where do we go?
Down this corridor.
No tricks, I shoot.
Across the hall. It's in the office. Here.
Are they not here? Oh, for God's sake.
Who? Where? But what are you talking...
Your husband, Lord Glamroyden. I telephoned the hotel. When we learned that Sir Archibald was in the city and that the governor was alone, Markovsky made this plan. They want to kill him.
Did you speak to Archie?
He was not there. I left message. Mother of God, they should be here. They should be here.
What can we do?
Let them talk. As long as possible. We must get back. They become suspicious. Move! Move, damn you!
Came to believe different things, Constantine. As simple as that. It was not logical, but it happened. And it could happen to you.
What is this woman's talk?
Welcome back, you two.
What's happened to Babs?
Don't worry, we decided a little food would not come amiss. We shall talk better on a full stomach. Pasquale and Miss Dacent are in the kitchen making sandwiches.
You are finished, Romanus.
The line is cut.
Put her over there. And him. I like to see them together, the woman and the man of strength and honor. Once, Castor, I killed for you, now I kill you.
Yes, why not? You could kill all three of us, Count. We are unprotected. There was a time when your gobernador might have done the same. Only now he is our friend, as you could be. He could still be your leader. You could follow him still, but to a different place. Perhaps a better one for you. Why don't we talk about it?
What is this different place? Okay, lady, you talk. What is this place?
Nothing, nowhere. No more talk. He made our world, now he has broken it into little pieces. There is no other place for us.
Look, if you want to kill me, take me away from the house and put a bullet through my head. I'm not afraid, you should know that. But why bring the two women into this? You have no reason to revenge yourself.
Reason? What reason do I need, Lady Royalance? Do I need a reason? Don't ask us to be civilized executioners. We are not. You damned us, now you must suffer the vengeance of the damned. You used us as tools to... Pasquale! Questies, what's there?
Drop your guns, all of you!
Shoot! Kill them!
Malkovsky!
No!
I remember a macabre dumb show as Mayakovsky's body twisted and jerked in apparent silence as though strings were tugging violently at him. He lifted his hand towards us. I saw a silent red flame shoot from it, and at the same time a shadow came across me, and I was falling slowly back in a dark, deep embrace as Castor's body wrapped itself around me in a living shield. As the bullets pumped into him, he convulsed once, twice, and then again in gentle, final intimacy. All around us, bodies writhed or lay draped in stillness. Doors burst open. A lamp fell slowly to the floor and shattered in breathless silence. But I could see only the face of my dying father looking at me with peace and love. I slipped to my knees and lifted him. His body surprisingly light, his head resting on my lap. He was staring at me as I cradled him. But I don't know if he could see me. Finally, out of that long white tunnel of silence, a sound reached me.
Oh, my God.
Get your minds to the car, Blanca, and we're getting patched up. Are you sure the others are safe, Corporal?
Aye, sir, this is your head, and this one won't trouble us again.
Good man. Take a look round the garden, will you?
Are you all right, darling?
Norris, will you check the armory?
Darling?
He died in my arms. Of course I loved him. At that moment, how could I not? It's not impossible to love two men. It really isn't.
Come on, old chap. He's gone. Let's leave her with him for a while, shall we?
Oh, yes, righto.
Anyone seen Babs?
Babs is right here.
Are you okay?
I guess so.
Well done.
We buried him on the courts of the morning, on the hilltop he and I used to visit. A simple wooden cross over the body of the man who once would have been king, and who loved me, and whose love saved my life, as in some small way, perhaps I had helped to save his. We'd had the ceremony in the morning. Late that afternoon, Babs and I decided to pay a private visit to lay a little wreath of wild hill flowers we'd found. On the way up, she stopped off to talk to a vaquero who had fallen sick. I went on by myself. The setting sun was in my eyes as I approached, the stark cross silhouetted against the red evening sky. So it wasn't until I was close that I saw Sandy stretched out on the grass at the foot of the mound, sleeping like a child.
Hello.
Sorry to wake you. We came to leave these for him. Aren't they pretty? I think I've seen something like them on Glenshee.
We?
Babs and me. She's on her way. Are you all right?
I'm not sure. Louise has been up here. I've been talking to her. Well, at least I think I have. I might have been dreaming. He seemed to be offering me a kind of kingdom.
The governorship of the Grand Secco.
Well?
What should I do?
Do you want it?
I don't know. I suspect what little ambition I had left is buried up here. I'm no Castor, Janet. Kingmakers aren't kings.
Other people think differently of you.
No, they're wrong. You'd
You'd laugh if you knew the kind of pictures that have been running in my head recently.
Such as?
Oh, tosh, oh, tosh. Beer in pewter mugs. Smell of the library at Laverlock. Logs crackling on a December evening. Look at that out there. Louise is right. It's beautiful. But I don't belong to it. I'm sick with longing for my own border hills.
And Laverlaw?
And Laverlaw. I'm ready for it now. Do you remember you once told me to fill the house with children? I was appalled.
Why don't you ask?
How did you guess?
Not difficult. I even had my suspicions when you pretended you couldn't remember her name at Laverlaw.
Oh, I certainly didn't know then.
No, I don't suppose you did.
You're right. I do love her. I love her. But I've been such a brute, I haven't a chance.
Not a ghost of a chance. But you can always ask her. She'll be here in about 5 minutes. I'm going for a walk to look for Archie and the others. We shan't be back for hours and hours. Babs is due from America quite soon now. Blenkiron, of course, is coming over for the wedding. In the spring at Laverlaw. As for Archie and me, well, Archie's learning about Westminster. And I'm learning about being a Westminster wife. I want you to know, Mother, that Archie understood everything that happened. Archie always understands everything. I wonder if you will. Please don't be hurt by this, but the glorious thing is that I won't really mind any longer if you don't. I think that's why I wanted you to know all this. You taught me. And without you, I couldn't have faced it. But in facing it, I've become free of you. Thank you. And please don't be sad. We'll be at Laverlaw for the wedding, naturally, so we'll hope to see you there. Unless by then, of course, my doctor say me nay. Oh, it was so sad. Did I tell you? Archie thought we should call the baby after Castor if it's a boy. But then we realized we had never learned his first name.
In The Courts of the Morning by John Buchan, Castor was played by Ian McDermott and Janet by Fiona Francis, with Andrew Wardlaw as Archie Roylance and Sandy Nielsen as Sandy Clanroyden. Babs was played by Lynn Baines, Louise by Richard Greenwood, Hamilton, Bianca and Ged by Derek Anders, Mayakovsky and Blenkiron by Finlay Welsh, and Romanus by Mark Coleman. The Courts of the Morning was dramatised for radio by Guy Slater and directed in our Edinburgh studios by Patrick Rayner.